in prayer once again. Father, we thank you for your word that has been preserved through all of these many years. Jesus even said that the scriptures testify of him. And so, Lord, we want to testify of him this morning in the fact that he is indeed alive. And so, Lord, we pray that we would lift him high and lift it up here this morning. He would be our focus and our attention, our help and our hope in life. Without him, we would be nothing. And so, Lord, I pray that you would guide us and direct us in your word today, accomplish its purpose, and we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Luke chapter 24 is where we're going to be this morning. Luke 24, titled this morning's message, From Mourning to Mourning. Okay? The mourning such as grieving into mourning. You get into the morning time and the sun comes out and it's a whole brand new day. A day of possibilities and excitement at times as well. And so the Bible is filled with statements about mourning, that is, early in the morning. We are told that King David rose early in the morning to pray. And so that was his custom each and every morning. That's what he did. And so that's where God would find him, early in the morning. Genesis 22, we read about Abraham who rose up early in the morning and took Isaac to Mount Moriah to offer him as a sacrifice, very early in the morning as well. What a morning it must have been for Daniel when the first sign of sunlight hit the top of that lion's den when he was down there. Oh, what a joy that must have been in his heart as well after spending that time in there. However, none of them compare to the morning that found here in our passage this morning. So I want to take a look this morning, some time at the morning when Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave forever. There's never been a morning like that before, nor shall there ever be one like that. It has changed not only history, but also eternity for those who cry out to him for the forgiveness of sin. And so what a morning it was when Jesus rose again. They sang in the song, both did as well. And that night, you know, all night long, and you know, in the tomb and sorrow and brokenness. But oh, what a morning. And you've heard that saying, you know, Friday was a difficult day, but oh, wait till Sunday morning. You know, wait and see. Sunday's coming. You see, and that's what we find in our passage here this morning when Jesus rose again. What a morning it was when he removed the sting of death and gave eternal life to those who will place their faith and trust in him. What a morning that was. What a morning that is still yet today that affects us, and not just us for eternity, but also every day of our lives while we're walking on this earth. The Spirit of God dwells within me, and now I can take the things that the world would throw at me to try to get me to mourn some of the things of the world so that I can live in a mourning type of mindset, and so that it's a brand new day. God is still on his throne. He's still alive. I can still overcome these things in the world because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. What a morning. What a morning. The morning Jesus proved that morning that he is alive. What a morning. Now, the morning started out like most of our mornings, most of our Monday mornings, that is, a morning where we don't want to get up out of bed, you know. We just want to pull the covers back and hide there for a while. But a morning that we know that, you know, sometimes we get up in the morning and we know it's difficulties today. We've got our to-do list. We've got problems in life that need to be conquered. We've got things that happened yesterday, and so we don't want to get up and face today. And so we don't want to face the world. We just want to hide out. And so we don't like the morning and all their problems. The people that we're going to read about here in just a moment started out mourning, that is, in grief and in sorrow that morning. And then their life was filled with sorrow and sadness over the death of their loved one. They had just witnessed Jesus being crucified on the cross. They knew without a shadow of a doubt, as everyone there, that Jesus had died on the cross. There was no doubt about his death on the cross. But it was going to be a day that not just for mourning, but it would end up being a mourning for them. The sun's going to shine. Hope is going to be restored in life as well. They're going to be refreshed, revived, ready to face each and every morning after that one with excitement and energy. And you and I that know Jesus Christ, we ought to still be the same way yet today. Yes, Jesus died years ago on the cross and He rose again. But where is our excitement as we get up in the mornings, you know, and go to Him in prayer and say, Lord, guide and direct me this day. Show me the sunlight. Show me Your presence. Show me the path that You want me to walk today. Where's our excitement today? Dare I say, it's kind of fades with the things of the world in which we live. Let's take a look at what makes that morning something special. What changed their morning of grieving into morning one of joy? Verse 1. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And so it was a morning. What changed their morning into morning? It was a morning of solemn reflections. It was a morning of solemn reflections. As the morning began to dawn that first day, the week early after Jesus' death on the cross, the women came to the tomb to finish the anointing of His body. For His burial. And when the women were headed to the tomb, the disciples were in the upper room and they were trembling in fear and waiting, perhaps thinking that, you know, the Romans are going to come after us next because we were part of the band there as well with Jesus, and they know that. And so are they going to come and take us off and crucify us as well? The women were sad and the disciples were scared. It was a time of mourning. You and I know what they felt, because we've all experienced death, have we not? That time when we got the news that your loved one has passed on. And then there's that waiting for the ceremony, the service after the fact. And even after that, great sorrow, knowing that we're never going to see them again. And the pain and the anguish that's there, the mourning that's there. This is what they were feeling here as well. So it was a time for solemn reflection because they were going there, you know, to anoint the body because they knew that he had died. And so they believed that so they were sad because not only because of Jesus' death, but they believed He's the Messiah. They had listened to Him preach. They'd watched Him heal. They watched Him do these miracles. They'd seen all of these things, and they were convinced that Jesus is the Messiah. They had placed their faith in Him and all their hopes, expecting that He would set up His kingdom on the earth. And now He's dead in a borrowed tomb. The one that they had placed all their hopes in was now gone. The one who changed their lives with His power, His presence, His love, His touch is now gone. And He died a violent, humiliating death. Surely it was a sad day for His followers. As we reflect on the sadness of the disciples, we can understand that grief. We've all had days of disappointment and discouragement and despair as well. As I mentioned, you know, we've all been, you know, to the graveside. We know what it was that they were going through. Yes, we can look at it from this side of that morning, can we not? And we know that He's alive. You know, we want to shout to Him, you know, and tell Him, you know, when they're going to the tomb, don't worry, He's coming out. He's coming out. He's not going to be there when you find Him, you see. We know that today. They didn't know that at the time. Oh, what a time of grief. We know what it's like to grieve over the death of a loved one. This was not a mourning for words or work or even wit, you know. In fact, look at verse 6, and it says, they told him, he says, he is, the angel told him, we'll get here in just a minute, but he says in verse 6, He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee. Again, Jesus had been telling them again and again and again, you know, I'm going to be crucified, and 3 days I'm going to rise again. You're going to see this, you're going to see this. But they just weren't getting it. Would you and I have we would have gotten it, do you think? Probably not anymore. That because we have it here today. Dare I say that if we would only spend a few more early mornings in solemn reflection as to what Jesus has done for us, we too would see our mornings turn into joyful mornings, would we not? if we just spent early morning solemn reflection in here at what Jesus has done for us. How many of us are guilty? We get up, we get dressed, we run out the door because we're late. We're late for work, and we get there, you know, we're blowing the horn, people's in the way, the light's turning red again, and I can't believe it, and so on and on we go, and then we get through the day, you know, lunchtime, and we go and eat our lunch, you know, and we're texting and looking at what's on Facebook. We do all those things, and we get done working, and we come home, and then we go to bed, and then we get up the next day, and we do the very same thing again, and we wonder why it is that we're discouraged, defeated, and not living the joy-filled life. It's because we're not spending time in solemn reflection early in the morning, before we go out into the world with the Lord, remembering what He said for you and I as well. What changed their mourning into mourning? Look at verse 2. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, I don't know about you, but I'd have been afraid too. And so these are angels there. And so I would have been afraid myself. And so he said, the angel said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He's risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee." Verse 7, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." Exact words of Jesus is what he's telling them. Don't you remember those words? And then it says in verse 8, and they remembered his words. They had forgotten all about it. They had focused on the death rather than the words of the Lord Jesus and how he spoke to them. "I'm going to comfort your heart with these words." And he says, you know, my Father's house has many mansions. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. He said, I'm going to be gone. I must go away. And so he goes on then to say, and they remembered his words, verse 9, and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And so they run back, and so they go back to the room. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And notice what it says, and their words seemed them as idle tales, and they believed them not. He said, idle tales. It's like old wives' tales, fables. Stories, you're making this up. Come on, this is not a time to be kidding around. This is not a time to be making up stories here. Things like this don't happen. You see, they too had forgotten as to what he had here. And so it's a morning of startling revelation in the fact they remembered. They remembered what Jesus had said as soon as the angel told him, "Oh, that's right, now I get it. Let's go back and let's tell the others as well." And they too had forgotten. They too said, "Oh, don't be coming in here and telling stories like this. This is not a time to do that." In verse 12, "Then rose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass." In the midst of their sadness on that morning, God the Father took care to minister to the needs of their hearts. Take a look at what He did. First of all, He rolled the stone away from the tomb. He took the stone away from the tomb. The ladies that were going there's no way possible that they could have rolled that thing back up that hill and out of the way. It was impossible for them to do that. God didn't move the stone to let Jesus get out. He removed the stone out of the way so that they could get in to see and remember what Jesus had told them. He's, "I'm going to live again. I'm going to die on the cross for your sins, so you can have that forgiveness, so you can have eternal life. And the proof of that is the fact that I won't be here when you come to the tomb." When we realize that it is God who continues to open doors to see His hand and heart and realize that His love that He has for us, it's then that it will take our mournings, our sadness, our sorrow in life that we've experienced and endure that continues to plague us. And when we realize that God is at work in my life, He's given me Jesus. There is hope. There is help. It's in Jesus because He lives. I can face tomorrow that we sang about. It is in Him that I need. I need to cling to Him with all that I have because He's all that there is possible to make this possible in my life. Second, he sent the angel a message, you know, sent a message with the angel that there's good news, that Jesus is alive, he said in verse 4. He said it came to pass, and as they were much perplexed about, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Verse 5, and as they were afraid, bowed down their faces to the earth and said to them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Jesus said that he would rise again the third day. What are you doing here? Don't you understand? He's alive. He's alive, as Vernon sang just a moment ago. He's alive. What are you doing here? Did he not tell you? If you're looking for Jesus, you're looking in the wrong place, because he's not in the cemetery. Jesus is alive. And so what a revelation that was for them to realize finally it clicked that Jesus is alive. Payment has been made for my sin debt. And so the world has never heard a message like that one. It still echoes through time and will continue throughout all of eternity in the fact that Jesus is alive. He's conquered death, hell, and the grave. No one has ever done that. No one ever will do that ever again. Jesus, God Himself, come in the flesh, died on the cross for my sin. There's nothing that will change your mourning of grieving like a mourning word from the Lord. That'll change not only that day, but it'll change your life as well, because it'll provide hope and help. It'll put a pep in your step. The sun will begin to shine. Even in your life, even though the world around you is falling apart and looks gloomy, and they keep telling you that's just wishful thinking, it's not. This is what we have from God Himself that tells us this. And not only that, we find here that God revealed Himself to the other disciples as they traveled along. Look at verse 13. And He says, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about three score furlongs. And they walked together, or they talked together, of all these things which had happened. These are the guys that had been in there. They'd watched the crucifixion, and it was a terrible thing. And so they're on the road to Emmaus, and they're going out. And as far as they know, you know that Jesus was taken down off the cross, and he was put in the tomb, and off they go. Verse 14, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they commuted together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, the Bible says. Verse 16, and their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And when he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one another as you walk? And he goes forth and so forth, and begin to realize that this is the very Jesus that I saw hanging on the cross by the hands of the Roman soldiers. And there's no possible way that this could happen. But with God, the Bible says, all things are possible. Jesus was alive. Jesus showed himself to these men as well. What a startling revelation when you realize that Jesus was crucified on the cross, but he's alive. He's alive. God raised him from the dead. He's alive. And so that begs the question, what are we going to do with Jesus now that he's alive? Because he's not dead and he wants to be a part of your life. And so now what do you do with Jesus? Startling revelation if you begin to realize that Jesus is alive today. What are you going to do with him now? Because he's alive. He's promised us that he would never leave us nor forsake us. Let that sink in and let it start to grow in your life, that he wants to walk with you and talk with you along life's narrow way. That's Jesus. For us 2,000 years later, from that morning, things have not changed one bit. God is still at work in our lives. Wants to walk with us, just as he did with these men here. Reveal himself to us so that we can see his hand at work in my life. So that I don't have to live defeated. I don't have to live discouraged. I don't have to live under the cloud of mourning, of things didn't go my way and didn't work out in life. That's okay. God can make all things work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. Watch what God can do in your life. Why? Because he's alive. Because he's alive. Thank God for the morning. You know, we just sang that song just a minute ago. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. Whatever men may say, whatever the world says, I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Why, He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. So there we have a solemn reflection, startling revelation, the fact that Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Let's take a look at what we find next. We see it was a morning of stunning realizations as well. Look, going over to verse 36. We'll stop over there. And it says, "And as they thus spake," this is the disciples in the upper room, okay? And remember now, they're kind of huddled up in here because they're kind of hiding out from the Romans and didn't know what's going to happen. "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." Notice it says, but they were terrified. All at once, they're there, they're talking amongst one another, and all at once, Jesus comes up, makes himself available right in the very room. Now, how many of us, we say, wow, what an experience that would be. How many of us, the same thing, we're in here, we're preaching, you know, we're listening, we're contemplating, we're reading, and all at once Jesus just appears. Would you be afraid? Makes himself known right there. Well, the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in His name, there am I in the midst of them. So His Spirit is with us in this place. And so we should be recognize Him and realize the fact that He's here with us as well. And so there was a startling revelation here. All at once, Jesus, you know, appears into the room, not knowing how He did it or whatever. It didn't open the door. I don't know how He got in there, but He's God. He can do whatever He wants. He's alive. And He just shows up and right there in our midst. In verse 37, but they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. It's a ghost. It's a ghost. Well, it's got to be a ghost. Isn't it funny that they would believe that it was a ghost rather than Jesus? Anything but Jesus. And it goes on then to say, verse 38, and He said unto them, why are you troubled and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? He says, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me, have. And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondering, He said unto them, have you there any meat? And He gave them a piece. They gave Him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And He took it and did eat before them. And so it was a morning of stunning revelations. While the disciples were trembling in the upper room out of fear, Jesus comes to meet with them. Jesus is still doing this in our lives today. Jesus shows up when we're afraid. Jesus shows up when we are weak. When I am weak, He is strong in my life. You see, and so he's aware of everything that goes on in our lives. And so here we find it's a stunning revelation that I can't go anywhere without Jesus. I can't do anything without Jesus knowing. That could go two ways. That could encourage you or discourage you, depending on the kind of life that you might be involved in. Jesus, the one who had died just 3 days before, was standing right there in their midst. They were terrified. They thought they had seen a ghost. But Jesus had some good news for them. And He showed them the nail prints in His hand. And the nail prints in His feet as well. And you remember Thomas, old doubting Thomas, that's where he got his name, because he doubted. He said, you know, because he wasn't there at the time. And he says, well, I wouldn't believe unless I could put my finger in the nail prints of His hand. And so later he did actually, he put his hand in there, so he'd come around to believe as well. Up to now, most of the disciples hadn't believed. Now they're convinced that Jesus is alive. Notice verse 41. Notice what it says again. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered. In other words, it seemed too good to be true to them. And so they didn't believe because it can't be. It's too good to be true that Jesus is alive. I mean, how is this possible? You know, how is this possible? Suppose, you know, that you had some disease and you've got just days to live and the doctor says, hey, have we found a cure? And you say, oh, it's too good to be true. It's the excitement that's there. And this is how they were feeling now. Oh, what a stunning realization that Jesus is alive. He's standing right here in front of us. And so this is what needs to happen to the lives of many people living in our world today. People need to realize that Jesus Christ is more than a baby in a manger. He's more than just some poor fellow who got himself crucified on a cross. We need to realize that because Jesus is alive, Jesus is our only hope we have of missing hell and getting into heaven. Jesus is the only one. We need to realize this truth this morning, you know, this truth of this celebration that we have today is not some bonnet-wearing, basket-toting, egg-hiding bunny rabbit that died for you and I and rose again. It's Jesus Christ. This is what we're celebrating today, is the resurrection that Jesus Christ is alive. And if that don't set your wood on, if that don't set you on fire, your wood's all wet. You know what I'm saying? This is what needs to happen in the lives of many people. We've got to get to this point. This morning is about Jesus. Do you realize who Jesus is? It's more than just a story on a page. More than just a story in a book. It's more than just, you know, He's the very life of God come in the flesh to save your soul. Is He your Savior this morning? It's a question you need to answer. You have to know Him in a personal, real way before you can be saved from your sin and saved from an eternity in hell. Do you realize who Jesus is today? God come in the flesh, crucified on the cross to pay my sin debt, was buried, rose again the third day as proof that God the Father accepted His payment. All I need to do is to cry out to Him for the forgiveness of sin. Believe that He is what the Bible says and invite Him into your heart and life. Last week, we see that it was a morning of spiritual release as well. Verse 44. And He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, and that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. They now get it. Just then. They now have it. They now understand what Jesus was talking about all the time on His 3.5 years of ministry. They now understand Jesus' purpose. They understand why Jesus had to go to the cross. They understand why He was buried in the tomb. They understand now that He is alive. God Himself, and they understand it, and it come through the Word of God. Then He opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Verse 46, and saith unto them, He says, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Without Jesus, death on the cross, without His burial, without the resurrection, there is no forgiveness of sin. There is no eternal life. We might as well take this, set it aside, and go on home if it's not true. If it is not Jesus, Him crucified and risen again. For you and I. That's what it's about, is Jesus. And so it was a morning of spiritual release. They finally understand. As they ate that first morning, Jesus began to tell His disciples that it was God's plan to reach the world through them. They were to spread the news of a great spiritual victory that had been won. When Jesus rose from the dead, old enemies that had plagued man since the sin entered into the world was now defeated. Some of those enemies include death. Can you imagine the struggle that took place when Jesus died early that morning? You see, when Jesus died and Jesus said, I'm going to conquer death, and death is holding on to Him just as hard as it possibly can and hanging on and trying to get some help. But Jesus says, I'm out of here. You can't hold me in this grave any longer. Oh, we fear that, do we not? I mean, it's a natural response. We fear that one day death is going to come knocking at my door. But if I know Jesus as my Savior overcame death, I too can overcome death. Because Jesus has given me that same victory as well. No more would death be able to claim victory over, and its bitter curse. Now, for the child of God, death is merely a doorway into the land of heavenly splendor as well, where tears will be wiped away. No more heartache, no more pain, no more suffering, no more discouragement, disappointments in life. You'll leave it all behind because of what Jesus has. So not only did he destroy the enemy of death, but also the grave as well. Another enemy that died that day was the grave. All his life, man fears at the moment he died that he'd be laid down into the ground. But for the Christian, the ground's nothing more than just a resting place to store this old, worn-out body, sin-ridden, until the day of the resurrection. The day of resurrection comes, you know, when Jesus comes back in the clouds, and He's coming in all of His glory, and He comes with the saints of the souls of those that we have been to the funeral. And here comes Jesus, and up out of the grave, burst forth, is going to be that old body that I left behind, and it's going to be reunited. But that body is going to be changed into a new body, the one that Jesus has, and one that's eternal, and so that no more sickness, no more death, no more headaches, heartaches at all. Wow. I don't be able to sing. I'll be able to sing that day. Another enemy that died that day was sin. Resurrection of Christ from the dead is the Father's amen to the sacrifice of His Son on the cross. It was an amen. It's been nailed to the cross. Our sin debt nailed there, forgiven. And so all my sin past, all my before I come to know Christ, all my sin now that I'm committed today, and all the sin that I'm going to commit down the road, every bit of it was all nailed to the cross. You say, well, that can't be right. Now you can go live any old way you want to. It is true. I could go live any old way I want to, but I don't want to. Because when I do, He disciplines me as a father does his son. And that's no fun when that happens. When Dad, when the Heavenly Father begins to whoop up on you. Last, I'll mention here, Satan took a beating that day. He tried every way he could to short circuit Christ's plan on the cross. But when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," the work on the cross was finished. Satan knew that he too was finished. He too was finished. He was defeated by Jesus. Do you understand it yet? Because Jesus lives, I can be saved by the grace of God. Because Jesus lives, I can have my sin washed away forever. Because He lives, I can go to heaven when I leave this old world behind. Because He lives, grave has no power over those who believe in Him. Because He lives, I'll never have to take a step in this world alone by myself ever again. Because He lives, there is hope and there is help for me. Because He is my Savior, He is my strength, He is my God. Because He lives, my sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. It's all gone because He lives. My name is written in Lamb's Book of Life and cannot be erased. It cannot be scratched out. It can't be ripped off there, covered over. And because He lives, God is my Father. Because He lives, sin no longer has any dominion over me. No power over me at all. I choose to sin. The list could go on and on. What we need to understand this morning is because He lives, I am free. I am free because He lives. How about you today? Are you free? Do you know Jesus? Have you come to the realization that Jesus is alive and He is who you need in life? Do you understand what will happen if you die without Him today? Bible says that you will spend an eternity in a devil's hell, not what God would want. Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But He leaves that choice up to you. Do you realize there's no other way to heaven but through Jesus Christ, His sacrifice on Calvary's cross? Jesus told us in John chapter 14, He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You understand that He is the way. There is no going in life or in eternity without Jesus, because He's the way. He is the truth. There is no knowing without Jesus Christ. The only way you can know the Father is through Jesus Christ. And He said, "I am the life." He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." There is no living in this world. Yes, you're breathing, you're moving, you're blinking your eyes, you're doing those things, but that's not life. He's talking about the abundant, joy-filled life. Is surrendering your life over to Him so that He can guide and direct you that peace that passes all understanding. So that when you wake up in the morning, regardless of what's going on in your life, He's there to provide the help, the hope, and the joy that only He can. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Do you know Him today? Has there been a time in your life where you said, "Dear Lord Jesus, I believe your word is true, and I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross for my sin and rose again. And the best way I know how, I'm calling out to you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and life. Be my Savior. I want you to take control. I want to serve you in the rest of my life. Do that today, and you'll know the peace that passes all understanding. You'll know the morning that Jesus can provide. Otherwise, if you don't, you'll end up with the mourning, the sadness, and the sorrow, because that's all this world has to offer. It's all temporary. Don't settle for that. Stand with us. We have a word of prayer. We'll have a song. You heard the message today. You're going to surrender your all to Jesus Christ today. You've never done it before. Then you come. Don't put him off. You come. Surrender your life over to him. Lord, I give up. I've been trying all of my life to do it my own way, on my own strength, and Lord, it's not working out. I want to give my life to Jesus today. Let him take full control of my life right here, right now. Do that today. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. No more pretending. No more putting it off. I'm going to surrender my all to you right here, right now. God's working on your heart. Don't put it off. We'll sing one more verse. If no one comes, then we'll close. Don't put him off. That's what I'm offering you, Lord. I will do it your way.